Today, heady days for the market, maybe, but how sustainable? Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Global stocks were flat, but still traded near record highs on Friday, as US President Donald Trump and his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin held what turned out to be, well, ineffective talks in Alaska over Ukraine. I give the win to Putin while we saw more taco from Trump. The MSCI All Country World Index consolidated recent gains. It was last flat, just shy of the record level of 954.21 set on Wednesday. The Pan-European Stock 600 index finished flat, trading near two-week intraday highs, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit an all-time intraday high on Friday, making it the last of the major three US indices to clinch a record in Wall Street's rally, fueled by the prospect of a looser monetary policy, easing trade tensions, and upbeat corporate earnings. The Dow surpassed the previous peak, which was 45,073, that it touched on December the 4th, helped by a jump in United Health Group shares after Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway revealed a new investment in the health insurer. The Blue Chip Index is price-weighted rather than market cap-weighted, by the way, differentiating it from the indices such as the S&P 500, for which companies with larger market values carry the most weight. For the week, the S&P 500 gained 0.94%, the NASDAQ rose 0.81%, and the Dow climbed 1.74%, and even the Russell 2000 joined in, up 3.3%. The Australian share market capped a second straight weekly gain on Friday, setting a record for the fifth session in a row as the Reserve Bank cut its rate and there were steady jobs data, which fueled bets of further easing. The S&P ASX 200 index added 0.7%, the strongest close and intraday high on record. And cryptocurrency markets stabilized a little bit after Bitcoin touched a record 124,480 on Thursday. The ongoing rise across multiple markets scream, well, danger, Will Robinson, with the S&P 500 price to book value 5.3 times, which is higher than the previous peak back in the dot-com bubble, where it reached a mere 5.1 times before falling to a low of 1.6 times in 2009. Of course, the big AI stocks are driving the rally, but we are in danger territory, as indicated by the NASDAQ market cap reaching a record 145% of the US M2 money supply in the second quarter 2025. Now, here is the dilemma for August traders. Everything is still rowing in the same direction. Retail flows, corporate buybacks, CTA positioning, cash-rich households, geopolitical politics, more bark than bite, and a Fed leaning towards easing. So in this case, the real pain trade is probably still higher. The question is whether we burn the oxygen here at all-time highs or whether the institutional money finally chases and forces another leg up. Wall Street's main stock indices recorded their second week of gains, buoyed by expectations that the Fed could restart its monetary policy easing cycle with a 25 basis point interest rate cut in September. US Treasury bond prices fell across the board, with markets anticipating that rate cut. On Friday, the Dow rose 0.08% to 44,946. The S&P 500 lost 0.29% to 6,449, and the NASDAQ lost 0.4% to 21,622. The Dow Jones Blue Chip ended higher after hitting an intraday record high on Friday, as United Health shares jumped after Berkshire Hathaway raised its stake. But other Wall Street indices slipped as mixed data did cloud the Federal Reserve's next monetary policy move. Rising costs in the broader healthcare sector and about a 40% slump in UnitedHealth shares this year left the Dow lagging its Wall Street peers on the road to those record highs. The price-weighted index last scaled an all-time high on December the 4th. The healthcare sector gained 1.65% on Friday, tracking its best weekly performance since October 2022. The Dow Jones has jumped more than 20% since hitting this year's lowest in April, when US President Donald Trump announced those sweeping reciprocal tariffs to rebalance the global trade order in favor of the US. After a series of US trade agreements with the UK, Japan, and the EU, investors are certain that a worst-case global recession scenario can be avoided. We'll see about that. The economic data continues to confuse, though. Recall the central bank last lowered borrowing costs in December and said that US tariffs could add to price pressures. However, recent labour market weakness and signs that tariff-induced inflation has yet to reflect in headline consumer prices have made investors confident of a potential dovish move next month. Data showed that US retail sales increased solidly in July, rising 0.5% from the prior month after an unexpected spike in producer price data on Thursday had renewed inflation concerns and paired market expectations for Federal Reserve rate cuts this year. The preliminary University of Michigan survey of consumers for August showed overall sentiment fell to a reading of 58.6 in August from 61.7 in July, missing analyst forecasts as worries about tariff-induced inflation weighed. On the inflation front, the outlook for both 1 and 5 year horizons both jumped to 4.9 and 3.9 respectively, from 4.5 and 3.4 previously. In other economic news, US import prices rebounded in July, boosted by higher costs for consumer goods, the latest indication that inflation is actually poised to pick up because of tariffs. Import prices increased 0.4% last month from a downwardly revised 0.1% dip in June, according to the Labor Department Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, it's worth remembering here that Trump has said that he's going to unveil tariffs on steel and semiconductors in the coming week. Trump's moves to shake up the Federal Reserve's leadership, including interim pick for a Fed governor post and an expanded search to replace Chair Jerome Powell next year with someone willing to lower interest rates, have also added to rate cut bets. Among other stocks that were on the move, Applied Materials tumbled 14% after the chip equipment maker issued weak fourth quarter forecasts. Shares of Bank of America dropped 1.6% after Berkshire Hathaway reduced its stake in the second biggest US lender by 4.2% to 605.3 million shares. It still owns about 8% of Bank of America. Intel rose 2.9% after a report said the Trump administration was in talks for the US government to potentially take a stake in the chipmaker. Chip designer and AI champion Nvidia, which became the first publicly listed company to clinch $4 trillion in market capitalization, also aided the Dow's rise. The stocks there have gained more than 30% this year. US Treasuries just dipped lower across the week before a small reversal, reflecting changing uncertainty about the path of future interest rates. The 2-year was last at 3.755 and continues the lower trend compared with July. In currency markets, the dollar weakened 0.38% to 147.17 against the Japanese yen. The euro was up 0.48% to 1.1705. The dollar index that tracks the greenback against the basket of 6 major currencies was last trading down 0.34% at 97.84. Brent crude fell 1.5% to settle at $66.13 a barrel, and US crude fell 1.8% to $63.14. US gold futures settled almost flat at $3,381, down from recent highs. US President Donald Trump's criticism of Goldman Sachs' research on tariff risks could prompt some analysts to water down their research. Investors and academics have said an outcome that could leave investors with less reliable information. Trump's comments, in which he lambasted Goldman Inc's economics team and CEO David Solomon and accused them of making a bad prediction, had triggered a debate on Wall Street about the possible fallout, according to interviews with bank industry sources and investors. In a social media post earlier in the week, Trump said foreign companies and governments were mostly absorbing the cost of his tariffs, counter to Goldman's research. Given that sell-side Wall Street analysts' predictions have been about as accurate as, well, random guessing, small investors could do just fine with a president exercising his First Amendment rights about flawed Wall Street research, a White House official said. On Wednesday, Goldman's US head economist, David Miracle, defended its research on CNBC, vowing to keep doing what the bank considers informative research. But there is rising evidence of self-censorship across the industry. It was large losses by smaller investors that triggered the first major probe of Wall Street research in the aftermath of the dot-com stock bubble of the late 1990s. Elliot Spitzer, then New York Attorney General, found that Wall Street analysts had swapped their honest opinions for unwarranted buy ratings on companies to help their banks win underwriting and advisory business. The result? A $1.5 billion global settlement payout by Wall Street and lifetime bans for some analysts. So it remains to be seen whether the current kerfuffle will have an outsized impact on Wall Street or if it is really just a storm in a teacup. But just remember, most analysts have an agenda. Just bear that in mind. European stocks were mixed on Friday as investors awaited news out of the meeting between the US president and the Russian president. The DAX index in Germany declined 0.1%, the CAC 40 in France gained 0.7%, and the FTSE 100 in the UK fell 0.4%. The pan-European Stoxx 600 closed 0.1% lower after hitting a near five-month high earlier in the session. The UK economy grew at a faster rate than expected in the second quarter, official figures showed, despite a slowdown from a strong start to the year, amid pressure from tax increases and Donald Trump's global trade war. Figures from the ONS showed growth in domestic product slowed to 0.3% in the 3 months to the end of June, down from a rate of 0.7% in the first quarter. Although it beat forecasts for a slowdown to 0.1% made by City Economists and the Bank of England, the latest snapshot underscores the challenge for the Chancellor Rachel Reeves as she considers options for boosting the economy and raising revenue at her autumn budget. Finnish electric services company Fortum's operating profit fell sharply in the second quarter of 2025 as lower hydro inflows and extended nuclear outages reduced power generation. VZ Holding Group said revenue growth for 2025 will fall below its long-term average as lower interest rates are expected to slow performance in the second half of the year, even as the Swiss financial services company reported higher earnings for the first half. Pandora bottomed the Stoxx 600, falling 18.4% after the Danish jewellery maker flagged weakening sales in its key European markets. That was its steepest one-day fall in 7 years. Standard Chartered fell 7.2% after a US Republican lawmaker called for a probe against the bank over alleged ongoing sanctions evasion. In Asia Pacific, China's disappointing economic data pointed to a challenging recovery ahead, although pockets of strength in Taiwan and Japan did provide some optimism. Corporate developments, including potential government involvement in Intel and significant acquisitions in Australia, highlighted strategic shifts amid this complex backdrop. Together, those factors suggest a cautious and volatile market environment with mixed signals across regions and sectors. Markets in South Korea and India, by the way, were closed for public holidays, leading to thin trading volumes. Tokyo's Nikkei 225 index jumped 1% on Friday, hovering near Wednesday's record high of 43,451. Japan's broader Topix index also rebounded 0.8% after hitting record highs earlier in the week. Japanese GDP data released on Friday showed the economy expanded by an annualized 1% in the April to June quarter, beating analyst estimates as exports and capital spending remained resilient despite US tariff pressures during the period. The strong expected outcome may bolster the case for the Bank of Japan to consider further easing. The Bank of Japan will likely raise interest rates as it's behind the curve in dealing with the risk of inflation, according to US Treasury Scott Bessent in his most recent explicit comment on Japan's monetary policy on Bloomberg. The remarks contrast with those of the Bank of Japan governor, who has repeatedly brushed aside the view the central bank was being too slow in rising rates and be too late in forestalling too high inflation. The slow pace of the Bank of Japan's policy normalization has been blamed by some analysts for the yen's persistent weakness, which in turn has pushed up the cost of imports and broader inflation. The Bank of Japan next meets for a rate review in September before holding another in October when the board conducts a quarterly review of its growth and inflation forecasts. Over in China, data show that industrial production in July fell short of expectations as overseas demand waned following earlier front-loading due to US tariffs. Retail sales figures from the world's second largest economy also came in below expectations in July amid weakness in consumer spending. Hong Kong's Hang Seng slipped 1.3% on Friday. In mainland China, the Shanghai Composite Index gained 0.5%, while the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 also rose 0.5%. The Australian share market capped a second straight weekly gain on Friday, setting a record for the fifth session in a row as the Reserve Bank cut its rate and steady jobs data for July fueled bets of further easing. The ASX 200 added 0.7% to 8,938. That's the strongest close and intraday high on record. For the week, the index rose 1.5%. IG Market analyst Tony Sycamore said the indices' fifth straight record high this week was unprecedented in the past decade, and with its sensitivity, the RBA's rate cut expectation gains will likely continue. We expect the ASX 200 to extend its gains towards the next upside target of 9,000 in the weeks ahead, he said. This view is based upon the ASX 200 remaining above the support level of around 8,630. After lagging for much of the day, financials closed up as the strongest of the nine sectors that gained. Westpac rallied 2.1% to $36.81. That's a fresh decade high. ANZ was up by 1.8% to $30.08 after deposits grew by $19 billion in the third quarter, while National Australia Bank firmed 0.8%. Commonwealth Bank snapped a two-day losing streak to rise 0.6%, but was still well down from its all-time recent highs. Materials also gained as UBS raised its long-term gold forecast and iron ore consolidated recent gains. Newmont firmed 0.6%, and Northern Star was up by 1.8%. Rio Tinto, Fortescue and BHP also rose by more than 1%. Iron ore in Singapore was last at $102.05. In corporate news, Baby Bunting soared 40.5% to $2.60 after its annual profit guidance for the financial year 26 was ahead of analyst expectations. Ampol rose 7.7%, $29.15, as broader energy also rose, jumping 7.3% after it agreed to acquire EG Australia for $1.1 billion. Amcor dived 9.7% to $13.60 as weaker volumes in North America weighed on its results and full-year earnings slightly lagged forecasts. And Mervac fell 0.9% as it said net earnings for security holders swung to a profit of $68 million in the year to June from a previous loss of $805 million, even as full-year revenue fell 10% to $2.74 billion. Cochlear rose 1% after its profit for the past year came in at the lower end of the recently lowered range of $392 million. 10-year yields were up on Friday to 4.272, but still off the 4.6% levels back in May. The two-year was at 3.324, while the Aussie was at 48 UK pence. Bitcoin steadied on Friday after hitting records above 124,000 US in the previous session, as hotter than expected US producer inflation dented hopes for aggressive Federal Reserve easing next month. The world's largest cryptocurrency was last at 115,820. World number two, crypto Ether, also slid after flirting with record high levels. It was last at 4,462.90. Once wary of allowing traditional financial firms to expand into the often volatile crypto sector, banking and securities regulators under US President Donald Trump's crypto-friendly administration are taking a more relaxed stance on the sector. American Bitcoin, a US cryptocurrency miner backed by Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump, is seeking acquisitions in Asia to build Bitcoin reserves, according to the Financial Times. The company aims to buy a listed firm in Japan and potentially Hong Kong to hoard crypto, mirroring Michael Saylor's strategy model, the report said. American Bitcoin, set to go public in September via a reverse merger with Griffin Digital Mining, said it is exploring accretive opportunities overseas but has made no binding commitments, according to the FT. Circle Internet Group said that it will sell 10 million shares in a secondary offering priced at $130, more than quadruple its June IPO price. The US dollar stablecoin issuer will offer 2 million Class A common shares itself, while existing investors will sell the remaining 8 million, according to a Tuesday filing with the US Securities and Exchange Commission. Circle plans to use proceeds from its portion of the sale for general corporate purposes and will not benefit from shares sold by existing holders. And finally, Citigroup is exploring providing stablecoin custody and other services in a further sign sweeping policy changes in Washington are spurring major financial firms to expand into the cryptocurrency business. The UK Bank is among a handful of traditional institutions, including FinServ and Bank of America, considering pushing into stablecoins after Congress passed a law paving the way for a crypto token to become widely used for payments, settlement, and other services. Stablecoins are cryptocurrencies pegged to a fiat currency or another asset, commonly the US dollar. That law requires stablecoin issuers to hold safe assets such as US treasuries or cash to back the digital coins, creating opportunities for traditional custody banks to provide safekeeping and administration of the assets. A McKinsey study estimates that around $250 billion in stablecoins have been issued so far, but are mainly used to settle cryptocurrency trades. While Citigroup said last month that it was considering issuing its own stablecoin, the bank has not previously discussed its broader digital asset plans. The largest Bitcoin ETF, BlackRock's iShares Bitcoin Trust, has around $90 billion in market capitalization. Currently, crypto exchange Coinbase dominates that business. In a statement, a Coinbase spokesperson said the company serves as the custodian for more than 80% of issuers of crypto ETFs. Citi is also exploring using stablecoins to speed up payments, which in the traditional banking system typically takes several days or longer. So all up, as crypto melds into the mainstream, it will more and more become just another financialized asset, used by the big players to make a quick buck at the expense of ordinary, quote, investors, unquote, if you can call them that. Let's be clear. The continued pumping of liquidity across markets is driving prices higher, and crypto is in the same boat. It is not a path necessarily to financial freedom, although, as in all markets, there will be some winners and some losers. But this is where I started the show, as we are at strong and heady levels, and something will likely break eventually. But the question, as always, is when? I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.